Proverbs chapter 1. Now we'll actually get into, I've given you 2 weeks of introduction, so this morning we'll actually get into the content. Proverbs chapter 1. Brother Curtis, how about open us up in Sunday school this morning in prayer?
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the love of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. Lord, for all the folks that have been, thank you, Lord, that are not here, whatever they are doing or where they're at, we just ask, Lord, watch over them. Bring them back safely, Lord God. We ask you to meet with us this morning. Pray to be honored, glorified, and all said and done. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right, so we have, like I said, basically went over 2 weeks of introduction and basically sermons based on what the book of Proverbs is about, and we covered the fact out of some of this stuff we just read here again that the Lord gave us the book of Proverbs, and Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs so that we could know wisdom and instruction, and then to receive the instruction of wisdom. So repetition, that's a little bit repetition. He said he wants you to know wisdom instruction, and then he said he wants you to receive the instruction of wisdom. So he wants you to get wisdom, and then he wants you to receive the instruction of wisdom. Now that's just about saying the same thing. So you could say, like most teachers would want to do, give you repetition. So Solomon trying to teach his sons about wisdom, then he wants you to, he's going to say it over and over and over, just like you do with your children. Why do I got to tell you over and over? Well, you should tell them over and over. Of course, they should obey. But over and over and over again is the way that you do teach them. Of course, you're supposed to, the way you want to do it is tell them over and over and over again until or before they transgress. Now you tell them one time and then forget about it for 6 months. Well, they're going to do what you don't want them to do eventually. But whatever you don't want them to do or whatever you want them to do, you tell them over and over and over until it's ingrained in their mind. I can remember in boot camp for the Marine Corps, we didn't have time to learn anything. But as we would march, as we would be standing on line getting ready for inspection, they would be having us repeat after them, and they would give a fact and we'd repeat the fact, and they'd tell us some knowledge about the military, and we would repeat that thing until before you know it we had spent 13 weeks doing push-ups and sit-ups and shooting rifles and camping out in the woods and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time we had gained a little education along the way. So that repetition. Well, that is what he's doing here. He says to know wisdom and instruction in verse 2. And then in verse 3 he says to receive the instruction of wisdom. But there's a little bit added to that, and there's a little bit into that if you think of it a little bit. If you read it and study it and pray about it, you'll see that there's a little bit more involved in there. You can get wisdom, but then what you want to do is you don't want to stop there. Once you get wisdom, wisdom is going to teach you some other things. So in other words, you learn wisdom or instruction or whatever it is that you learn. Now after you've gained that knowledge is going to teach you other things. Now when you're born, you don't have a lot of innate abilities. In other words, the word innate means you're born with it. It's there naturally. Now about the only thing you have as an innate ability is the ability to look for food and the ability to tell mama you're hungry. That's about all it is. But you need to be trained to do other things, trained in your language, trained in all these things. Well, the more you learn, the more ability you do have to learn, and your lessons are going to teach you lessons. So once you get wisdom, Wisdom itself will teach you more. Wisdom is a teacher. Wisdom is not just fact. You can memorize the times tables. 1 times 1 is 1, and 1 times 2 is 2. You can learn those things, but those things aren't. Those are just facts. Those are not going to. You're not going to sit around and think about. Well, 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. That's not going to blossom into a lot of other facts and figures. But wisdom is a little bit different. Wisdom will tell you not to do a thing, or it'll tell you to do a thing, and it'll also tell you why. It gives you the principle of why that thing is. Now, once you get the principle of why a thing is true or why a thing is false, that principle begins to spread out and teach you other principles. Oh, well, if that's true, then this other thing must be true. And that's the thing about it. Now, just making a kid say 2 times 2 is 4 is not going to lead him in any way, shape, or form towards algebra or geometry or trigonometry. It's just not going to do. But when you start building principles and you tell a kid why a thing is, well, the why and the how is going to teach you some other things. And so that's what he's saying. He says the words to know, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. So wisdom is the teacher. That's like saying to know the instruction of Brother Nathan, to know the instruction of your science teacher, to know the instruction of wisdom. The wisdom is doing the instructing in that case. So it is repetitious. They are both saying the same thing, but at the same time it's giving you the idea that there is a lot to be gained from trying to collect this wisdom, especially godly wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. Switch over there and look at this for just a second. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Not just the teacher, he's the principal. I like that. I didn't care too much for the principal when I was a kid, but at any rate, you understand he's saying it's the primary thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the primary thing. It's the basic building blocks for all principles. So he says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So wisdom will teach you understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. You gain the wisdom, and the wisdom will begin to teach you understanding. The wisdom will build a good, not only a good base, but it'll grow up into a large tree of understanding that will help you apply that wisdom. And then that understanding is also lumped in there with verse number 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, we use the term discretion in the modern day to have people be quiet. I mean, discretion, when you learn a fact, you want to go out and tell it. You want to go if you're a lady, you want to go tell your lady friend. If you're a man, if you're a preacher, you want to go tell you, hey, preacher friend, this is what I just heard. Hey, brother so-and-so, this is what I just heard about. Discretion in the modern sense is the ability not to go do that. When you hear a thing, just hush about it, keep it to yourself, and pray for whoever needs praying. And we use that sense of discretion. But the actual definition of discretion is the ability to make up your own mind and use your own knowledge and wisdom. In other words, you've got your own set of, like a computer, you've got your own database and you've got all this information, and not only, you don't only have the information, you have the ability to use it. You know what's right and you know how to apply it. You know what's wrong and you know how to apply it. So there is discretion needed. Wisdom, understanding, and I believe that understanding and discretion goes hand in hand. A lot of people know facts, but they don't really know how to use those facts in a way that's going to be beneficial. Now, that's a lot of times a two-edged sword. You've heard about the Bible being referred to as a two-edged sword, but I'll just give you an illustration of it back in the book of Jude. Back in the book of Jude, talking about wisdom, discretion, how to use that wisdom. In the book of Jude, there is an illustration about how that's done. And so Jude chapter, of course there's only one chapter, but verse number 20. Let's start reading right there. But But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, not everybody, doesn't say everybody, it says of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So in the ministry of reconciliation, which is what our ministry is called in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our ministry of reconciliation, it's a two-edged sword. Some people you have to scare to death to get them to do right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, he says, some have compassion, making a difference. So you can make a difference in some people's lives by being compassionate. You can make a difference in some people's lives by scaring the daylights out of them. It's a two-edged sword. How do I figure out what is the process by which I go about figuring out what I need to use to get to you? Well, that's discretion. The wisdom that you have, being able to understand how to apply it in each situation. You might run into 100 people in a day. I don't know, some of your circle might be bigger than that. Some of our circles might be smaller than that. But whoever you run into in a day, you need the ability to be able to say, well, this is what needs to be done, this is what needs to be said. And a lot of times, if you're running into your cousin whom you've known all your life, you've probably got a good idea. Discretion is going to be easy. It's going to be easy to know what to do. But if you're just running into somebody right off the bat, you've never met them before, a lot of times the best line of approach and a lot of things is just going to be silence. Listen. Just be quiet. Listen. Run into somebody, you heard their problem for 5 minutes, and you start diagnosing and prescribing solutions for their life, diagnosing their problems and prescribing things for their solution, you're probably going to get it wrong because you don't know. You don't know them. And basically all you know is what they're telling you, and a good possibility they're going to be liars. You say, well, you shouldn't look negatively on people like that. Well, the Bible says all men are liars. And 9 times out of 10, all men's going to take their own side. They're going to run across you and say, hey, so-and-so did me wrong. And well, if you went to the other person, they're probably going to say, well, he done me wrong. So you don't have both sides of the story. So a big part of discretion, that's where we get the idea that discretion is the ability to keep your mouth shut when you really want to tell somebody something. Discretion will tell you when you don't know the whole story to be quiet. When you don't know all the facts, to be quiet. When you don't have all the solutions, be quiet. And a lot of times, even Christians will do this. They don't have all the story, they don't have all the facts, but they'll go and tell something about somebody anyway. And on top of that, they're not interested in finding a solution for those people's problems. They just want to tell it. And that's not the way Christians ought to be. Hush your mouth. That's the best way to be. Well, I thought it was in the best interest of everyone. No, you thought it was in the best interest of you. Don't tell it. Just don't tell it. It's discretion. It's a great part of wisdom. Amen. So the book, you say, well, I don't know quite how to do that. My flesh just wants to tell. Mine does too. You say, well, how can we get over this? The book of Proverbs. It's one of the purposes that the book of Proverbs was given to us. And I'll read it again. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. See that word equity? The same. Equality. It's the same benefit on both sides of the equation, whichever equation that you're going to involve yourself in. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man will hear. Not a wise man will talk. See, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So we're going to talk about some of those things for just a little bit here. Now, knowledge and discretion. I've already talked to you about that just a little bit. I gave you the basic definition of discretion. Now, he also says knowledge. Knowledge. Well, knowledge is basically, like I said a while ago about that computer, it's just a database to work with. It's facts. 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 Now, facts, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Now, it's not saying that knowledge is a bad thing. A lot of people say, well, we don't want to fool around with doctrine too much because knowledge puffeth up. That's not what that verse is telling you. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up because knowledge and wisdom are not the same things. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. So don't try to get a lot of facts without the wisdom to use those facts, the wisdom to gain understanding. So knowledge is just the database to work with. It's just the information. When you take your computer and you put information into it, well, it has a great capacity to just store up information. But what you need is the operating system. How many of you know what that is? I mean, this is a modern world. That's Windows, right? The thing that crashes on you ever so often. But most of that's just because of your internet. Your internet does a lot of that to you, messes your computer up. We've got the old computer at the house that's got Windows XP, which was a long time ago. XP was a long time ago. And we don't have internet on that thing. The internet's not been hooked up to that computer in years. Matter of fact, I took it to the computer place where they work on computers and had them clean out all the stuff that the internet might have deposited in there. And It wouldn't hardly run. It got to the place where it would start up, but it wouldn't even boot. So I took it to the man over there and I said, clean this thing up, fix it up somehow. He went in, got stuff done. I've got it back. I've never hooked it back up to the internet, and it runs all day, every day, whatever the girls want to do, do their homework on it, and it's not hooked to the internet. That thing runs fine. So not, a lot of junk's not been put in there, see? Just like your mind will work better if a lot of junk don't get put in there. Well, listen, what you put in that computer is good. It's a bunch of facts. But that operating system in the computer, it has to know when to put this thing together with that and where to grab this from. And it has to have the ability to do that. And you have to do the same way. Knowledge is just the facts. 2 times 2 is 4. And Billy's numbers 912-496, whatever. It's just knowledge. Well, not that's all knowledge is. It's just the facts, just the data. We'll use that word. I don't know if that's not a good country word, but we'll use that word for the next little bit. And like I say, discretion is the ability to use that knowledge in regards. And I'll say this and add to the definition that we went, because I got it wrote down in my notes here. Ability is the knowledge to discretion is the ability to use that knowledge in regards to maturity. In other words, your own mind, not somebody else. Counsel is when somebody else tells you how to use knowledge. And we need counsel from time to time. The Bible says you don't go to war without counsel. And the Bible talks about the gospel being a warfare. So we don't go a warfare at our own counsel. But that's what it is when it comes from outside. If Brother Curtis gives me advice, or Brother John gives me advice, or Brother Chris gives me advice, or Brother Nathan, that's counsel. That's not discretion. Discretion is the ability to use my own facts, my own experiences, and what I've gained from wisdom to use that to make the right decisions. And I believe that's important. I believe both of them are. I believe counsel is important, and I believe discretion is important. So it's the discretion is the ability to use the knowledge in regards to maturity, not just use it, but use it in a mature way. Your own mind makes the right choices rather than the elders making up your mind for you. All right. Well, let's move on from there. Let's look in verse number 5. I hope everybody understands. I mean, that's just basic definitions of the introduction there. What we expect to gain from the book of Proverbs is wisdom and instruction. We're going to gain judgment and equity, and that's going to make justice. Verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. There's three things there that wisdom teaches: justice, judgment, and equity. Now, judgment could be bad judgment, but we don't want bad judgment. We want good judgment. We want to decide the right things, and we want there to be justice. We want it to be right, and we want it to be equitable. We want all of our judgments to be equal with everybody. The Lord dealt with me about that. I was thinking about a thing yesterday, and I judged the thing in my mind to be wrong, and then I realized that there's somebody else over here in my life that I know that's really doing the same thing. And I'm not going to get into this right now. I'm going to preach a sermon on it one day, I didn't think of it as bad for these people as I did for this other set of people. And that's not equity. That's bias. And the book of Proverbs will help you get rid of bias. Help you get rid of bias. I'll give an example of that. You see a black man and a white woman walking down the street. A lot of people turn their nose up at that. White man with a Mexican woman, people don't give it a second thought. It's both the same thing. It's two races. Equity. So you got to say, well, I've just decided that this one's wrong. Well, then it's all wrong then. Well, I don't see it that way. Well, then you're imbalanced. You're perfectly welcome to go the rest of your life imbalanced if you want to, but I'm just telling you it's imbalanced. If you believe that race mixing is wrong, it's wrong for all races. You say, well, I think it's just wrong for black people. Well, then you're a racist. If you want to live that way, that's fine. You do that, live that way the rest of your life. But I'm just telling you, you're imbalanced. Well, that's the truth. And the Bible, the book of Proverbs especially, is going to help you get rid of imbalance. And boy, you wouldn't believe how much better and how much easier your conscience works when you've got wisdom and discretion, the ability to use that, the understanding that will help you use those things. And so he says in verse 3 again, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So we expect, as we go through the book of Proverbs, to be able to gain these things in our life. And if you already have some of these things, the more you go through the book of Proverbs, the sharper. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Well, the more you go through these things, you're going to become better and better. You're going to become wiser and wiser. So, verse number 5, he begins this way, and I believe verse 5 is the beginning of the instruction here. Well, verse 7 really, but verse number 5 gives you some preliminaries for gaining the rest of the book. A wise man will say... Is that what it says? A wise man will hear. A wise man will hear. A wise man will hear, and it will increase learning. That is a 1+1 kind of verse, and I like verses like that. Just like back up in verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, the Bible doesn't just say that, period, and not tell you what the instruction of wisdom is. It tells you that the instruction of wisdom is justice, judgment, and equity. That is what you will gain. That is what wisdom will teach you. Wisdom won't teach you mathematics and science. Wisdom probably don't like mathematics and science. I'm just kidding about that. I'm trying to give it my own personality. But what I'm trying to make you understand is there's a specific... The Bible, when the Bible tells you that something's going to happen, it will usually define it for you right there in the text. And so he says here, a wise man will hear it and will increase learning. So how do you learn more? You learn more by listening. You learn more by receiving, not by giving, not by putting things out. So you read, you listen to teaching, whatever you need to do, but a wise man will hear. In other words, what I'm trying to get across to you is the way that you increase learning, the way that you gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding is to hear. And that's why the Bible tells you to be slow to speak and swift to hear. I read you the verse a couple of weeks ago in Ecclesiastes, and it said when you go to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to offer the sacrifice of fools. So I think you understand. Be more willing to or ready to hear than to talk. He just replaces talk with the sacrifice of fools. The sacrifice of fools is to just utter things out of your mouth, to give up foolish things, in other words. So he says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So a man that hears will learn. He'll build that database we was talking about. If you're going to be a, if you're going to talk about computers, you want a smart computer, not a $35 computer. That's one of the things that most people get mad at computers for. They say, this stupid thing don't work. Well, you gave $35 for it. All these computers are stupid. Well, you bought one for $12 at a yard sale, and somebody else has done abused it and broke it, and you expect it to work good. It's not going to work good. You go to Best Buy, and Lord, I know, probably best not to even buy one than to spend a bunch of money on it. I know that. But if you need it, you need it. If you go to Best Buy and you got one here for $98 and you got one for $68, well, go ahead and buy the one for $90, but you're going to take it home. You're going to be cussing at it in 3 weeks. That's just, you say, why is that? Same reason your $2 shoe from Pick and Pay lasted 3 weeks. I'm not saying anything bad about people buying budget things. I'm just saying when you buy budget things, they're going to wear out. They're not going to. Well, listen, you don't want a budget education. I'm not talking about math and science. I'm talking about the Bible. You want to get as much as you can, and the much that you receive, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be required. So the much information that you get, make sure it's not sensual, earthly, carnal, fleshly information. Make sure it's good, godly, spiritual, powerful, gospel-centered and gospel-oriented information, because that's going to help you build and build and build. And the Bible says you're to be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that's just spiritual things, and spiritual doctrines, and those things are going to really benefit you, and your brain's not going to break as often as it would if you put a bunch of carnal stuff in there. And you can read Galatians 5:17 in your own time and get some assurance about what I'm telling you that about that. But a wise man will hear and he will gain. He will grow. He will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So you'll be able to not only understand counsel when it's given, but you'll also be able to give some. You'll be able to attain to it. Now, one thing that I regret in my lifetime is, as a younger man, I wasn't able to receive instruction very well. In other words, when somebody gave me wise counsel, I didn't have the mind that was equal to receiving it. And therefore, I learned a lot of Bible facts when I was a boy, and those were beneficial. Even though it was knowledge without wisdom, it was still beneficial because I was just an immature kid, and that's basically what I needed. Wisdom will come as maturity comes, but you still need to train. See, training is different. You can teach a dog to sit. He don't know why he's sitting other than the fact you told him to. The Bible says train a child in the way that he should go. It doesn't say maturize. It doesn't say mature a child. It says train a child. Then when he gets maturity, that training is going to turn into something else. Well, he says here, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. That means he can both understand it and give it. He's attained something. He's risen to the level of something now. He has a broader spectrum of facts from which to make his decisions, and now he can really start making good decisions, and he can also give them. He's attained unto wise counsel. Now, verse 6 says the same thing. To understand a proverb. In other words, the last phrase in verse 5, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. See that colon? He's going to explain what that means in verse 6. To understand a proverb, another, when your daddy sits you down to talk to you, or your preacher or whoever has a talk with you, you can understand what's being said, not just hear the words. You know, like a 15-year-old boy, you talk to him, he goes, yeah, I understand. And he goes out and does bad or does the same thing anyway. He don't really understand. He heard your words. He might know the definition to the words, but he don't know the wisdom behind what you're trying to tell him. Like I think probably all of you, I don't know, maybe some of you younger ones may not know, but I think all you folks that are above 30 years old, you've talked to somebody and you've just recognized that blank stare in their face. They're not getting it.
Yeah.
They're dumb as a rock. Knowledge hadn't turned into wisdom yet. They haven't attained the wise counsel. Well, that's what it's talking about here. A man of understanding will be able to understand a proverb and the interpretation. He says the words of the wise. You'll be able to understand the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Those dark sayings. It's called a dark saying, not because it... And this is one of the few places in the Bible where darkness is used, not in the sense of evil or wickedness. Dark sayings are sayings you can't understand very well. It's hard to perceive what's going on. That's why the Bible gives in a prophecy about Jesus Christ, kind of talks about dark saying. When Jesus spoke, people didn't get it. And even his disciples said, you need to explain that to us. Why? Well, because they didn't have that spiritual understanding, so they hadn't attained, you see. But the Lord took them aside and said, now this is it. And he explained his dark sayings. They were usually parables, but you can also call those proverbs. They contain an amount of wisdom. They contained an amount of instruction, but they couldn't get it. Well, the book of Proverbs is going to teach you how to listen to preaching and get it. It's going to teach you how to read the Bible and read those proverbs and get, oh, I get that now. That's what that meant. That's what the book of Proverbs is going to help you do that. That's why a lot of preachers will point you out. The first day of the month, read Proverbs 1. The second day of the month, read Proverbs 2. Now, some months have more than others. Proverbs has 31 chapters. Someday the month is going to dump out on the 30th day, so you have to read two in that day. It'll be all right. But just read whatever day of the month it is. Just read that, and you'll get a system built up of going through the book of Proverbs once a month, and it'll help you because it's going to be teaching you how to be wise. Amen? A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. Some men attain gold. Some men have the ability to get gold. That's an attainment. Well, if you have real understanding, then you're going to get direction and you're going to attain some of these things. You're going to be able to seek out wise counsel. You're going to be able to reject unwise counsel. When people are preaching, when people are reading the Bible, you'll understand. You'll understand the preaching. You'll understand spiritual things. The Bible says we compare spiritual things with spiritual. You'll be able to start getting those. And you'll be able to reject some things as well. Proverbs 1:2, again, to know wisdom and understanding, to perceive. Perception. You'll be able to see what is right. You'll be able to perceive the words of understanding. So, with that in mind, we also look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. You'll be able to hear right words and you'll be able to hear wrong words. The problem is a lot of times wrong words sound right. They're being delivered in a positive light. But you want to be able to get to the place where you can pick those up. Proverbs, I'm over here in 27. Proverbs 19, I said. Proverbs 19 and verse number 27. One of my favorite verses. This verse stood out to me very early on. After I felt like I should be preaching the gospel, I found this verse and I've tried to stick with it for all my years. Sometimes you'll want to not... Is that what it says? Anybody see the word sometimes in there? Cease. That means stop. Stop right now. When somebody's telling you something that's wrong, you stop it. Don't listen. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Somebody telling you something that's not right, don't listen. Don't listen. If somebody's giving you bad information, if somebody's being a bad influence, you stop listening. You don't want to listen to that. You don't want to put up with that. So he says, that's just a great point of wisdom right there, is to cease. So in Proverbs chapter 1, you were told to that you would, by learning the things in the book of Proverbs, you'd be able to perceive the words of understanding, you'll also be by perceiving the words of understanding, it'll contrast over against things that are wrong. And when you hear something that's wrong, just stop listening. Just stop listening. Probably one of the most popular Bible teachers of the day is a man named John MacArthur. And he says a lot of things that are okay. He says a lot of things that are good advice. And he has a lot of things to say. But I don't listen to him because he teaches limited atonement. He teaches that God didn't die for everybody. And so that bothers me to the extent where I just put that aside. A lot of people listen to or read different authors and I don't know everything about these men, and God knows I don't want to misjudge them or anything. But men like Arthur Pink and folks like that who have books that a lot of people, both Calvinists and non-Calvinists, get a lot of edification out of these books. Well, I don't fool with those books. I'll forego the good information that are in those books because I don't want to hear anything false when I'm dealing with the Bible. Somebody was talking about going to the moon. Somebody was before service or going someplace out in space. And I don't even remember who was talking to me now. Had my mind another place. But, they're talking about going to the sun. Now, what in the world anybody would want to go to the sun for? But listen, you can talk about that and you can have a discussion among yourselves and one can say this and one can say, I understand, just everyday ordinary things, that's okay. If you want to have an argument with somebody about that, that's fine. But what I'm trying to get across to you is when you take the Bible and when you take the Spirit of God, you take the Spirit of the world or the Spirit of Antichrist, those two things are opposing forces. And when you put out a book, you want to make sure the book is right. When you put out a doctrine, you want to make sure your doctrine is right. When you put out a Bible teaching, you want to make sure your Bible teaching is right. Because here's the thing. One of these days you're going to put out a Bible teaching and somebody's going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker because it's probably good. You go to a Baptist church, you go to a Methodist church, you go to a Catholic church. The man is going to stand in the pulpit. And if he's doing a Bible teaching, it's probably going to be right. If you go to a Catholic church and listen to a Catholic church give his homily, it's a sermon, but they call it a homily. It's probably going to be right because he's going to talk about love and loving your neighbor and he's going to talk about Bible teachings. A Bible teaching, a Bible lesson, a Bible story is a Bible story. They're Bible stories. Their Bibles don't say the same things yours does, but the stories are the same. The influences are the same. So they're going to get up, they're going to have a Bible teaching, and they're going to talk about you should love your neighbor. Should you? Okay, well that's a truth. Well, you got a Bible teacher and he puts out a Bible teaching. People get that and say, that's good. Well, they start fooling with this man now till they get into his Bible doctrine, and then it's wrong. Whoops. Now what you going to do? Well, I really like this guy. I really like my pastor. My pastor says one thing. This guy says another. Now what you going to do? Well, preacher, I think you're wrong about that. Okay. Next thing you know, you're off. So what does the Lord say? Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err. Well, up around where I'm from, you go to a Presbyterian church, you're going to get a lot of Baptist preaching. If you go to a Pentecostal church, you're going to get a lot of Baptist preaching. Because where you might have five Pentecostal churches in a certain area of the city, you're going to have about 500 Baptist churches. So there's Baptist influence everywhere. Well, you got some Pentecostal preachers that preach a lot of good Baptist-like messages, and I've heard them preach, and I've said, but I didn't fool with them. Why? Because they got bad doctrine hanging around. And bad doctrine. The Bible says this. It says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. He said, if you'll do that, it'll save you and your hearers. So it's very important. Bible doctrine is very important. So if I don't want to get messed up in a bad doctrine, I don't want to set my heart and set my affection on somebody that's teaching good teaching and bad doctrine. So I don't fool too much with Catholic. I mean, not Catholic, but Calvinist preachers or teachers or anything like that. For the simple fact, I think George Whitefield was probably a great preacher and did a lot of good. I think Jonathan Edwards was probably a good preacher. I don't know about a good preacher, maybe a good teacher and done a lot of good. I understand that. But I don't read after those men. I don't follow them real closely. I've read their biography. Francis Asbury, Methodist evangelist, traveled all over America, did a lot of good stuff, probably preached some great sermons. Good, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did what he did, but I don't follow his work because bad doctrine, just bad doctrine. So, you know, Whitefield done this and Whitefield done that. Well, Whitefield also an Anglican. An Anglican full of false doctrine. Anglican probably put more emphasis on the church creed than he does the Bible. And I just don't want to get into that. I don't want that influence to get in my teaching, so I just don't do it. Now, you get a Baptist preacher like Ian Paisley that calls himself a Presbyterian, and I might listen to that a little bit, but I still have to watch and be on my guard. So there comes that equity. A little uneven. So we all got it, amen? So we all need to sharpen up a little bit, don't we? Well, the Bible says you'll be able to perceive the words of understanding. That's Proverbs chapter 1. And then he says at the same time you'll be able to... Because you can perceive the words of knowledge, you can contrast that with things that are untrue, and then you can cease. When you see the danger, you can cease. Amen? You can cease to hear it. Cease, my son, to hear. And so that's what we want to do. I don't think I can get much further than that today, except for we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 1, and next week we'll really get into the meat. And verse number 7, and it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. And that's where we want to start at, the beginning. I told you at the very first, we were going to cover this book of Proverbs because a lot of people are trying to learn how to be Christians. They haven't learned how to be people yet. And that is the beginning. We're going to start at the beginning of our growth as people. And the beginning is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we'll start right there next week. Lord, we do thank you for the Sunday school hour. How fast it does fly by. And I pray, oh God, that you would have mercy on us and help us, Lord, to preach as we ought to and to act as we ought to, God, this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.